Hot water heaters, solar, continuous flow and storage hot water. Ream is Australia's favourite. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Very good afternoon from the Triple MCG. It's the Blues and the D's, and it got a great afternoon for some good football for two teams that have really struggled at various stages today. A big preview, full menu, Stuart Fox from the Hawks, Matty Egan from the Bombers, 2-point loss last night against the Gold Coast, Andrew McKay, head of football from Carlton. And then we have a chat to Paul Roos's right-hand man, Simon Goodwin. We also have Tell Me Something I Don't Know. We may even squeeze in the duck shoot on a Sunday afternoon. Let's work our way around the box. The King, he's done it well. He's a big part of what we do on a Sunday afternoon. Wayne Carey, welcome, Duck.
Yeah, g'day, boys. G'day, listeners. What a beautiful day, Swat. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else other than the MCG on a nice sunny Sunday afternoon, other than probably a little beer. Probably a little garden somewhere. Just doing a little bit of garden. You know, bring out the annuals. Just plant a few annuals somewhere in a garden.
Could be another economical day on his comments this afternoon as we welcome Jay-Z from the Herald Sun. Welcome, Jay-Z.
Yeah, Swat, great to be here. Look, I've spent the week in the Whitsundays, to be honest, because in Melbourne, when it gets a bit frosty, my wife gets a bit frosty, to be honest. So we got to head north and get some sunshine and just reconnect on that front. But it's great to be back. You mentioned off the top Carlton, Melbourne today. It's Cripps v Hogan as well. The battle for the rising star is earnest. Now, if I'm Johnny Parker,
that's all over, Jay-Z.
At Carlton, I'd be parking six defenders around Jesse Hogan and just releasing Paddy Cripps so I get 35 touches, son.
Well, I tell you what, boys, every now and again I get the rare opportunity to just drop down to Saturday afternoon. It's rarefied air, and it's, I tell you what, some healthy egos in that group there, and then I just get turf back onto Saturday nights. It's a pleasure on a Sunday afternoon to welcome Gary Lyon, the leader of the Wolf Pack, on a Sunday afternoon. Wolf. Now, Gaz, there's a lot of pressure on. You've got to deliver for the next couple of hours.
I am honoured and privileged to be here and have a run in the twos every now and then. just straighten you up, well, freshen you up.
Tell me about it. I've spent 3 years down here.
No, good to be. I tell you what, I have found out. No, I'm in Bristol's seat because Bristol's son is playing in the grand final. I want that check too, you and I. Don't I'm not 100% sure that's true, given the sun's out. But I did say, okay, I'm happy to fill in, but I want your car park because I don't know how we run on a Sunday set up. But on Saturday, me and Jim just take them all. And he said, yeah, no worries. That's absolutely fair. So the car park slip was handed to me yesterday, minus the ripped off bit. So he'd used it. What a man. I'm doing him a favour, giving up the Sunday. And he's giving me a half a car park. I found my way in, and it is good to be in. I'll tell you what, Duck's right. It is a magnificent day. And this is for two teams I've had not much to shout about. One set of supporters are going to go away with a pretty unfamiliar feeling this afternoon, and that's victory.
Exactly,
and,
right.
You suspect a rare air, and as a Melbourne supporter, you never take favouritism too seriously, but they should win today, and we're going to talk about Melbourne because 92 points, you boys saw it last week, and barely a mention given the events and circumstances surrounding Hurdy and their rights holders, they got off the hook. So we're going to put them back on the hook.
Wouldn't be too many sides to get beaten by 98 points and then paying $1.50 to win the next week and be red-hot favourites at the MCG. It's unheard of.
Well, some big results so far, lads. Started on Friday night. Port Adelaide got the Hawks. Richmond got the Pies. We'll talk about the Pies shortly. Sydney defeated the Giants. The Gold Coast defeated the Bombers. St Kilda got the Cats. Sorry, drew with the Cats. And Adelaide dished out another big win against the Brisbane Lions. But I guess we start the talking point, boys, is Collingwood. It looks so good at the halfway mark, Duck and Gaz and Jay-Z. 8-3. It was identical to what happened in 2014, and the wheels have fallen off in pretty much a similar fashion, and there's got to be some concerns at the Magpies.
Yeah, a little bit of a concern for me, and because of that reason, Swatter, we look at this young team and we admire that they've got some young talent that have improved. They've brought a little bit more talent in. They got Greenwood. Crisp is probably on par with Higgins as recruit of the year. I reckon he's been fantastic. But you're right, where have they actually improved? And I guess Nathan Buckley and Collingwood will say, well, we got more football into them, so therefore next year they should go on. So, you know what, can we forgive them for what they've done this year? Maybe we can, but next year certainly the pressure will build on this football team. And yesterday was a big negative. In fact, that was probably the worst they've played for the whole year. They played poorly against Melbourne, Gaz, a couple of weeks prior to that, but that was certainly their worst performance.
Compounded by the 93-point loss is the fact that they won from nine in this last run, and Damien Barrett has been on the other side of the argument. He said, why do we keep saying they're going to be okay? And they keep losing, they keep having their results. And I guess when we're mounting a positive, we go, yeah, but they're competitive against Hawthorn, they're competitive against the, you know, Sydney, Freo, all these sides. Well, you got to say on the back of yesterday, we need to dig a bit deeper. And the heat will come, and maybe it's the best thing for them. I don't know if it's permeated throughout the group. We'll hear some comments from the captain, Scott Pendlebury, in a moment. We'll get your thoughts on that. But this is a spanking of 92 points against the Richmond side, and we should give them credit because they were ruthlessly professional. But, that not too often you'd say Collingwood have lost one out of nine, got done by 92 points, and we're still debating whether it's a disastrous situation or not.
So which half of the ground worries you more, Gary? Because noises out of the club over the past 24 hours is that their team defence, their back half, or the way they defended their position was where they let themselves down yesterday. But looking at the forward half versus the back half, what do you think is the bigger issue for the Pies?
Front half, for me, and I don't know whether you watched this yesterday, we did the game, obviously. They had 20 inside 50s in the second quarter. Mm. 20. 70%+ of the game in the second quarter was played in Collingwood's half. They kicked 7 behinds. And, Duck, there's a staggering stat. They went, so 0 from 30, so the ball going inside 50, 0 to, so what I'm saying is they went to the same spot constantly. Mm. They kicked 1 behind from the entries to 0 to 30. Richmond, 0 to 30, 11 goals, 3. So yeah. System, space, all the things we as forwards demand, they were dysfunctional yesterday. Yep.
This is a team for me, and it was only a year and a half ago that I remember Travis Cloke kicking his first bag of 7 against the Tigers and actually giving the Tigers, so this very team, a touch-up. For me, it reeks of a team, a young team, Gaz, that has said they did. And we know, we'll listen to Pendlebury's comments in a minute, but it put the cue in the rack and said, you know what, we're looking forward to our holidays. And, we're 3 weeks away. That's what it reeked off to me.
Well, let me just say that it did in the end because they gave up 9 goals in the last quarter and it was exactly that.
Yep.
It was too hard. They had 10 more inside 50s overall for the game. So in terms of effort and having a crack and getting it in, I mean, I've got a forward line bias. I suspect Duck has as well. If you set up properly and you max, I mean, that's our great advantage in this game is forwards are the proactive. The defenders should be going where you take them if you're dangerous. 10 extra inside 50s and you're lost by 92 points. Mm. I mean, you got issues. You got massive issues.
Let's have a listen to what Scotty Pendlebury had to say after the game yesterday.
I've sort of never played in a game like that where it's my first time ever playing in a game that didn't sort of mean anything. As a football club, we can't get to finals, and I thought early the effort was, you know, we didn't start too well, but the effort was there and we're playing some good footy. But just the ease at which they scored, and everyone can say what they want about our goal kicking or our skills, but we just can't defend at the moment. So until we can defend as a side, we're just going to get on the end of those beltings.
That was Scotty Pendlebury yesterday after the game on AW.
The reaction of that has been pretty severe. In the hours after the game, a lot of people were pretty harsh on Pendlebury for those comments. I think it was just a statement of fact. He's saying, for the first time in my career, I'm playing a footy game without the prospect of winning 4 premiership points towards a finals berth, right? There's no September for Collingwood. And Nathan Buckley has come out this morning on Twitter and he said, Pendle's comments taken out of context. We are all hurting after yesterday's performance, but the skipper turns himself inside out every week. So he's defending Pendlebury there, and for good reason, because he's one of the most dedicated athletes, not even in the country, Gary. On the planet, he hasn't had ice cream for a decade, because that's how competitive and how well prepared he is. So I think we can cut the skipper some slack there.
Well, taken out of context is good and well to say the next day. The context needed to be interpreted at the time. And when you hear someone say it didn't mean anything, well, you're going to get the reaction that you did. When you get the captain saying it's the first time I played in a game that didn't mean anything and you've lost by 92 points, you've got to understand there's going to be a reaction. Now, we cut Pendle slack because we know him. We've observed him and we know that he was... You know, essentially saying it's the first time he's ever played where they haven't contended for finals. But the mentality of the whole group, which Duck has raised, would be not everyone's as strong-willed as Scott Pendlebury. Not everyone's as professionally on point as he is. So, yeah, certainly by the end of the... by the start of the last quarter, it didn't mean anything to anyone.
That's right. If you're saying that, are you saying that he didn't mean to say that? Are you saying that...
I'm just saying it's more a statement of fact. He's saying this is the first time in my career that we haven't been playing
exactly,
for a finals
berth. I think what he said is exactly what he meant. And at the end of the day, if your captain is feeling like that, then the whole group is feeling like that.
So you reckon, it was more than a slip of the tongue?
No, I just think if that's how he felt, we know Scott Pendlebury, an intelligent guy, knows exactly where he's at, says it how it is, and I think that's exactly what it was. And I think you take it for that. Don't be critical of it. That they were the actual facts.
You're a bit concerned as to how that might be received or perceived by his playing group? Younger, inexperienced guys, and whether that permeates through the group?
I'm sure there'll be massive clarification in amongst the playing group. Whether they have recovery today, I don't know where we get together as a group.
But that's what we do now at footy clubs, because someone makes an honest statement, Gaz. But it's not unlike Henderson that goes in and says, and now there's an uproar about him being honest going in. Pendlebury makes some honest comments. We all jump in the air because a few supporters might get upset that, okay, they weren't having a go. And then they've got to be out there sort of checking that everyone's okay about his comments. At the end of the day, he's being truthful how he felt,
don't give all the playing group, you've got 42 on a list, don't give them all credit for having the same level of perspective as you have, or as I have been, having played for a long, long time. There would be kids there that would need to be sat down and said, righto, this is what was said, this is where he's coming from, and Buckley would then drive it very hard over the next 2 weeks.
Well, for me, they play Geelong on Friday night, MCG blockbuster. The heat goes on that playing list this week. If I'm Nathan Buckley and I'm the whole club, I want a fierce response, right? So that must be the focus this whole week.
And Nathan Buckley's coaching record, I mean, he started here and it has gone down, down, down. Now, we cut him some slack because we think Schoenberg, DeGoey, Freeman, Moore, Maynard, these kids, maybe Treloar, maybe H, we think that they're going to be better next year. But that's yet to be played out. So there is pressure building there, I would imagine.
Let's have a listen to Nathan Buckley after yesterday's game.
There's a season of effort unrewarded, and there's a breaking point, and that's what that last 20 minutes is. It's not us. It's not acceptable. And what we saw, what I saw today was a group of blokes that have been putting a lot of work in without reward, thinking, well, why would I keep working?
16 wins in his first year, 14 in his second, 11 in his third, and he's sitting at 9 wins at the moment.
That list has changed a lot since his first year.
It has, but it's going south.
Yep.
And, I mean, ultimately, it's a brutal game. Mm. And we get judged by... As I said, I have defended strongly Collingwood, and I think they're on the right track. But that doesn't guarantee anything.
Did you have them in your top eight at the start of the year? You didn't.
No.
So and I was the same. So they're where a few of us thought they would be.
Yep.
But there are some concerning little lights going off. There's some red lights going off, and we're not going to know. You're right. We'll see what they do in the next couple of weeks in terms of effort, but we're not going to know whether they're serious concerns until next year now.
Came up against a pretty rampant Richmond outfit yesterday, Gaz, Duck and Jay-Z. The Tigers were pretty ruthless in their performance, the way they dispatched the Pies.
Yeah, they're really impressive because they did what a side who were going to contend in finals should have done to a side that weren't mentally engaged, if you like. They kicked 4 goals before Collingwood blinked, so they're up and they're ready to play. The response from Collingwood was reasonable. They kicked the next 3, and then from that point on, it was pretty much one-way traffic. They got a dominant big key forward, and we're going to talk about that later too, Duck, about structures and what's a successful structure, forward line structure these days. They really only had one big key forward, Richmond, and I reckon that's a trend of where the game's going, and I don't mean Jack Revolt. I mean Vickery, with support from Deledio and Revolt and Lloyd and these sorts of boys. So, no, they were really good. And what I think would be most pleasing for Damien Hardwick is they walked away with a 92-point victory with Trent Cotchin having 13 touches. Mm. Deledio was good. He kicked 3, but he wasn't rampant, best on ground. So their load has been spread really nicely. So I think the Tigers supporters look forward to September with real optimism.
There's a lot more maturity about this group now. There's no question about that.
No.
And let's not forget last year, their run of 9 wins before they got flogged in that final. This is a hard-nosed group, Swatter, that has a couple of strings to their bow now. They can play tempo footy. They can score quickly. They can defend. So they've got all their aspects in how you want to play a game lined up. And I tell you what, there'd be a few sides a little bit nervous coming up against the Tigers if they put it all together.
Well, it looks like the top four is locked away, with Sydney having 2 relatively easy games in the final 2 rounds of the season. So you suspect that Richmond probably will finish 5th. Do you think that a team that finishes outside the top 4 this year can win it?
No. for mine.
I would argue right now, Richmond are better than Sydney.
They've beaten Sydney.
That's right.
Yeah. Hawthorn and Fremantle. Yeah. And lost to West Coast
Richmond
by 20
right
points.
Now are a better team than Sydney.
Yeah, I concede all of that. But it's three massive big games to win a premiership if you're outside of finals, top four, obviously. And if you do, then I say good luck to you. That's absolutely full credit. And to do that, I reckon you need to be pretty exceptional. I think they're not quite there just yet, but you know it is there because the top four, there's a question mark over all of them, isn't there?
Is Tyrone Vickery the best redemption story of the season? He kicked six goals yesterday, plays his 100th game next week against Essendon. I mean, at the end of last season, after he clocked Dean Cox, all the jury was out on him. He didn't even start in the team. He played his first senior game in round five this season. All of a sudden, he, as you said, he's the spearhead of this forward line. Is the footy world finally embrace Tyrone Vickery?
I tell you what you do. I've been a critic. And thought that the talent that apparently he had, and work rate and competitiveness and all of those different things that you want from your key forward, I thought he has lacked at times of his career. I think this year has been the first time. So I'm now I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I'm impressed by what he's been able to do. And the reason why I say that, even some of the very best footballers, Swatter, can have bad first halves and then they've gone for the day. What Tyrone has done a couple of times this year when the Tigers have needed him, I remember a game in Sydney when they were getting smashed by Sydney at half time. He came out, he had a massive third quarter, kicked a couple of goals. So big moments, he's done big things. Fantastic for him to have a really big game. Tyrone comes across to me as a guy that probably runs out just about every Saturday afternoon and doubts whether he's still good enough to be at this level. After a big game like that, he might truly start to believe. And remember Tom Hawkins only 3 years ago, yeah, the final series, inconsistent, had a big final series, bang, burst onto the scene. That might be the special ingredient that he needs and knows now, you know what, it's only onwards and upwards from here.
So for him, the way I would rate him is I can trust him more now.
Yeah.
And when you get to that stage, regardless of whether you kick six...
That's a good word to use, actually.
Or whether you kick one, if you can trust him to play his role, then that is a massive step forward. And I think that's where we're at with him. I asked whether the pack would follow on a Sunday, Big Duck. All my boys and girls.
What a flock.
Teddy, the leader of the pack's come. Gordy Brown, Georgie Kaparis.
What are they saying,
I can't
Gaz?
Read it out. It's too...
Gary. Love your work, Gaz.
I'll be too embarrassed. But stuff like getting ready for footy and not even tuning in, but Wolf on fire early. That's basically it. And I should never have doubted them. I didn't know whether they were a Sunday operation.
Oh, goodness,
but they are going beautifully.
All right. TAC around the grounds before we have welcome Stuart Fox from the Hawks.
The Dockers have kicked ahead by 11 points, two quick goals. Sanderland's just monstered Goldstein, and Nat Fife has kicked the goal. So the Dockers up by 11 points early in the first quarter.
All right, I'll tell you what, the Hawks, a bit disappointing on Friday night, but you would suspect that given some of the things that they've had to deal with over the last week and a bit, that may have had some impact. And we've got the CEO from Hawthorn on the line right now, Stuart Fox. Welcome, Stuart.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for joining us. It's been a tough week with regards to the result on Friday night, but a week ago we were about ready to broadcast the game of football and we got the very, very sad news of the tragic passing of Brett Ratten's son. How's he coping?
Look, I think they're doing it pretty tough as expected, but look, it's going to be a challenging few months for him and the family, and the club's doing everything we can to put our arms around Brett and the family, and we'll certainly give him as long as it takes to really recover from it.
Stuart, Jake Clark here from the Herald Sun. Mate, how did you immediately react to the news? Was it that night or the next morning? Did you see Brett Ratten early in the piece or did you call him? Can you just tell us how the club initially reacted to that?
Oh, just look, shock. Tragic circumstances, so just shock. I mean, I found out at 9 o'clock in the morning and had a call from Chris Fagan, and it's a hard one. There's no textbook how to manage these types of issues, other than, you know, I know football clubs do it extremely well, and there's been some tragic circumstances this year throughout the industry. But look, Clarko and Chris Fagan were quickly to go around and support the family. We've had support there all week, and you don't want to overdo it either, because it's a time, it's an emotional time, and people need to grieve, and some people need space and some people don't. So we've been talking to Rats constantly, and he knows we're there, and whatever we can do, we're there to support him and the family.
And is it right to say, Stuart, and absolutely as respectful as we can be about this, but is it right to say it really permeated through the club? Do you think it affected, you know, rocked the players? How was the atmosphere, you know, leading up to a big game on Friday night throughout the group? I mean, you have to sort of think it has an impact on the boys being such a popular figure of the club, Brett Ratten.
Oh, look, he is popular. He could be one of the most popular blokes internally. Certainly, you know, even within the playing group, the coaches, but also upstairs with the admin staff, he's just a very likeable guy. So, look, it was one of great sadness. We briefed our staff on the Monday morning. They were all, you know, very sympathetic and caring and just wanted to know what was going on and what we were doing to support. So that was, look, that was the most important thing that we just got round in. So, yeah, look, it'll be a tough day tomorrow. We've obviously got the funeral to attend, and it'll be pretty tough for the family.
So do you think, was the wind sucked out of the team a bit? Do you feel that the players went into that game? Could they have been flat?
Oh, look, possibly. But look, really, we came up against a pretty good Port Adelaide who match up very well against us. It was a danger game, and they played extremely well, and we didn't. So I'd hate to be disrespectful and use excuses. I think we're outplayed and we're fumbly and they were clean, and they beat us on the night.
Yeah, Stuart, it's a harsh reality is that footy goes on, of course, and you're in a position where you're preparing for another tilt at what would place this footy club at the very top of the greatest teams of all time if you're able to manage three in a row. And now you've got one of your most important support acts to Alistair Clarkson dealing with tragedy, and understandably footy is way, way down the track. But you've also got Brendan Bolton, who would be as equally as important in a serious race for the Carlton coaching job. Now, if he was to be successful, A, what happens there from the Hawthorn Footy Club? Does he stay on or does he leave immediately? And B, how do you deal with potentially having two of your most important assistants not there?
Well, look, hopefully we've got them back in some capacity. Certainly Rats will come back at some stage. And, you know, Brendan, we're no wiser on, and we've, you know, really got to respect Carlton's process there. We don't know whether he's going to get it or not, but I know he's certainly close, and they'll make their decision in due course. But, look, we're pretty experienced at losing assistant coaches, and I think we've lost one every year for the last three. We're certainly not in the business of walking people out. We'll be respectful, and obviously when you're at the pointy end of the season, you're a chance to, you know, go into finals and shooting for success. You really want all your people around you. But having said that, it's happened to us before, and I think we've managed it pretty well. So, look, if it happens, it'll be, you know, Clarko, myself and Chris Fagan sitting down and just having a professional discussion around. I think we'd make a wise decision for the club and obviously the opposition club too.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, you've got it right every time. That's what makes you a great club. But philosophically, is it a matter of, okay, yep, you've got the job, therefore you move on? Is it that?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, and I think, you know, the evidence is really in the past that, you know, a couple of our assistants have coached on, and I think it's important when you're at this pointy end. And I think clubs have got a lot better at being respectful of each other. You know, there's an unwritten code of conduct now, and I think it's getting better and better. And generally, the CEOs are across any movement. The good clubs are courteous and respectful in terms of having those discussions. So I think we'll just wait and see what happens in the next week or two. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be some strategy if Brendan did get it.
And has he given you any indication, Stuart, just about whether he would be happy to go on or whether he'd find it too uncomfortable? Have you asked that question?
Oh, look, we haven't needed to yet. I think it's, as I said, it's premature. So, you know, the moment, if it does, we'll have a good discussion with him and we'll do what's right for our club and what's right for Brendan too.
Now, you've had an extraordinarily successful run, Foxy. It's been a great time at the Hawks. Are you starting to feel a little bit nervous or shaky about what's ahead, an interstate final? How do you think the team is shaping up for a third straight flag?
Yeah, well, it's been a funny year. We've had some great form and probably some lapses in form, so it's very hard to judge, but it is a nervous time of the year. I start feeling a little bit sick and queasy. But we've we've got a contingency plan in place no matter where we play. And, you know, it's looking more likely that we might be heading over to Perth, which is always a challenging trip. So it's all the small one percenters that we'll focus on. And if we have to do that, we'll make the best of it. And we've got a strategy in place. So, yeah, look, it's an exciting time. And, that first week's particularly important. If you can earn your top four spot, then, you know, you really are shooting, you know, for a prelim, and that's probably the goal. So challenging few weeks ahead, and let's see what happens.
And it's not ideal to have the skipper, who's been in sensational form under the MRP spotlight. He's going to be a big story tomorrow. What was your take of the incident? Well, what is your take on the Hodge clump bump? Because people have been, you know, pretty polarised on it.
Well, you know, I probably shouldn't have an opinion on it. I saw it at high speed, and I think just, you know, it just happened and part of the game. And, you know, we'll see what the match review panel come up with. It's not for me to comment on that.
Appreciate you joining us, Stuart. Good luck for the rest of the season.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Stuart Fox from the Hawks. Tell you what, it's tough at the moment for the Ratten family. It's going to be tougher tomorrow, Gaz.
And our thoughts are with him always. Absolutely. And he would be aware that the footy community rally. And it's an interesting one, though. There's no sort of black and white about Brendan Bolton. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. If, as we, I think, suspect, he's going to get the Carlton job.
We indicated that he might stay on. Is that your take?
Yeah, I did. But again, it'll be, I think if you, Duck, if I appoint your coach of Carlton, I reckon your focus then goes pretty quickly to Carlton and what needs to be done. But anyway, well, as he said, they've got a pretty good record.
TSC around the grounds, quarter time, Fremantle, North Melbourne, Jay-Z.
Dockers with six straight goals, Schwatter up 36 points to the Kangaroos, 3-20, nearing quarter time.
Yeah, and gee, a little bit of a reality check early for the Kangaroos whilst we just keep an eye on it in the ad break, Schwatter, because we concentrate on what we're doing. But gee, they went after him. Frio, big pressure. And to kick a late one from the Kangaroos, I think Brad Scott's blood pressure is only just starting to settle.
Not a great start for the Kangas. Big 3 weeks for them. This is one that they, I think, would have down as a win. Obviously, Pavlich not playing, Gaz. So
they've got three games that are in the balance, haven't they?
Yeah, Richmond's round 23.
Bulldogs next week.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the Tigers.
So, I mean, it is an enormous 3 weeks for North. If they drop those three and bundled out, that'd be a write-off. In fact, it'd be a disaster. So they've got a massive couple of weeks ahead.
Would the Wolves be at the door for Brad Scott? I mean, up until now, he's been able to do this slow, patient build. But do you think people would come or begin to question the whole Brad Scott
mantra,
his position?
Well, if they lost three in a row and didn't make it, they would. He's got 1 year to go of a contract, hasn't he?
Yep.
Next year, and he got re-signed early, so they've been given some pretty clear air to get them to a stage where they can contend. Now, they contended last year. Now, I don't care what anyone says. I know they lost in the prelim, but they got to a preliminary final, which is a massive tick. To not make finals footy and probably not win a final this year would be a big step backwards.
Concern for me, they've just signed Boomer Harvey and Petrie, which is fantastic, and their form warrants them to go on for one more year. But the concern for me is Waite, Petrie, Harvey, Ferrito, all will be gone in the next 2 years, Gaz. Yeah. So it's a pity. It's a pretty big hole.
Yeah, I've had a really good look at them over the journey, and they defend their drafting and their willingness to go to the draft table, and they would say that a lot of those blokes didn't cost them much in terms of taking quality picks. So they've got players that are there. Whether or not they're good enough remains to be seen.
The one thing the Kangas have never done, though, which is a big, they've never bottomed out, Gaz.
No.
Kangas don't go to the bottom of the table, and they haven't for a very, very long time. They've always been competitive. If they've missed the finals, it's always been around that ninth. So from that point of view, their supporters get value for money, GZ.
I know we're going to move on, but so all the 24, in that window where they want to have players of, you know, 23 to 27, it's Zeeble, Cunnington, Goldstein, Attlee, Swallow, Hanson, McMillan, Thomas, Wright, Higgins, Jacobs, Brown, Bastanac, Tarrant, Mullet, who all fall into that category. So they've got a pretty solid core group there. They need a couple of them to become A-graders, along with Goldstein, and they need some kids, McDonald, Garner, Dumont, Wood, Turner, to step up.
Yeah, it looks as though the Fremantle Dockers are working over Toddy Goldstein, because Griffin and now Sanderlands has got on the score sheet, Jay-Z, for the TAC. Quick update, please.
Well, Sanderlands have kicked his second. They're up by 22 points, nearly quarter time.
Kick two, Sandy.
Wow, there you go. Toddy's got his hands full with a 1-2 combination.
A lot of people talking about Goldie being the best ruckman in the competition. Yeah. I reckon Sandy's come over here with a little bit of
radio. Right. Just cop some of this. Yes. Big gold.
Cats drew yesterday, boys, against the Saints. They had to win it to keep a faint chance of making the top eight, but a draw in the end, which makes it incredibly hard. But we saw the best and the worst of Stevie J against yesterday, Jay-Z.
Well, it was Tackle of the year, possibly, from Shane Savage, who caught Stevie Johnson holding the ball in the goal square. It was one of those ones where I was watching it, and you just sort of thought, Stevie, you showboating here. He just sort of, you know, dropped it down a couple of gears, running from 20 metres out into the goal square, wanted to casually put it on the boot.
Come on, chopper.
And missed from point-blank range. And the reaction to Chris Scott was telling. I thought after the game, his comments are really interesting, because he said it was comical and hilarious, but I reckon he was filthy with that. And it just adds another intriguing layer to the future of Stevie Johnson, because he was otherwise pretty good on the night, fellas, did
well,
you think?
Well, let's have a listen to how the Saturday night boys called that goal. All
a little that short goal. Chipping ball to Stevie J. It's all clear in front of him. Stevie!
Oh, no!
Get him, Stevie!
Stevie! Oh, no! That is the decade!
It is! It's Malcolm White rebounding.
Yeah,
he was trotting
no.
it over the goal. He was looking at the replay.
He's
he was
laughing.
Giving a bit of
well,
Stevie
time.
Laughing.
He's laughing at it.
And he was tackled to ground 3 metres out.
He was showboating. He looked around. He had a bounce.
Stevie Savage got him.
And just to back that up, let's have a listen to what Chris Scott had to say after the game.
I was on AFL 360 last week and I saw some footage of Rhys Palmer having a couple of bounces and fluffing one in the goal square. And I think Jared Whateley said, how would you react in that situation? I said, well, you'd probably laugh. What else do you do? It was comical. If it wasn't so important, it would be hilarious.
Yep, that's all you could say if you're the coach. A couple of minutes later, he snapped one from the boundary on the left, running away from goal. He kicked four for the night. Thought he was pretty good. But, yeah, that's Stevie. I mean, I love listening to Chris Scott. And Duck has mentioned this when off here. He said they're so measured, the Scott boys. And he speaks with pragmatism. And he says, well, you know, with Stevie, you take the good with the bad. He said that over the journey. And that's the bad, basically.
Yeah. Succinct, common sense. Just nailed it.
Does he get an extension next year, 1 year contract, Stevie J?
Well, I've spoken to him personally about this. So he hasn't made his own. I think in his heart he wants to play on, but he says he swears that he hadn't been told from Geelong that he's not. This was about 2 weeks ago, I think, and he said the next 4 weeks would determine whether or not he goes on. I think he probably does.
My understanding, Gaz, is there's two guys down there that they will make a decision on, and it's Kelly and Johnson. The others, Enright, Rivers has already said he's going to retire. Bartel will go on. So they're the two that the decision will have to be made on.
Well,
That's my understanding of it.
He's still involved in 25% of Geelong's scoring chains, so he's still having a big impact.
For me, his form warrants him being able to go on. There would be some that would say, no, he's been a bit up, and he has had his up and downs this year, but off the back of his last few weeks, I reckon he goes on.
Yeah, the mercurial types that can kick goals. I mean,
hard to get.
If Menzel had played the last 10 games and was sound, then it probably wouldn't bode well for Stevie. But he's the heir apparent, obviously. But I suspect he probably plays maybe 15 games. You know, along those lines. The great debate for anyone about Geelong, and we all do it, and we'll talk about the game, is that all those players you mentioned. Bartel, Stokes, Kelly, Enright, they can play half of the year against the sides that are thereabouts or below, and we will say their form warrants it. They've got to make up their mind and say, well, we want to play finals. Can they play in September and cut the mustard? Mm. And I watch Jimmy Bartel, who I love, and it's hard to say, and that's my query on him. I mean, he played halfback last night and did his job against a side who aren't contending. Now, throw him out here on September 13 against Hawthorn and play him halfback. I'm thinking, gee, that's a different decision.
Yep.
So that's where they're at.
What about the bigger picture for Geelong now? It seems they've got to make up a lot of percentage to get in finals. It seems as if they're not going to make it now. And last night's loss for me was a really disappointing one. They lost to Melbourne earlier in the year, Geelong, but this was just about the most disappointing loss for years for Geelong.
I reckon you're selling St Kilda short. If you're going to put it in that category. If you're going to say that's one of the most disappointing for the year, you're suggesting that St Kilda are bereft of hope or talent. They're better than that. They're better than that at Etihad Stadium. They're a fantastic pressure footy side. They back themselves. I reckon they work really hard. So, I mean, you know, I'm not even talking hindsight. There was a 28-point line last night, which I thought was ridiculous, at Etihad Stadium against the Cats. And I'm a fan of St Kilda. I'm a fan of what they've been able to do. And, you know, when you get a side like that who are able to pressure against a side that aren't overly quick, then they're going to be in contention.
Well, the Bailey Letter live update as it stands right now, quarter time, Fremantle leading North Melbourne, Freo on top, but North Melbourne are in eighth place as it stands. They're 8% better off than the Cats, but only one game clear. So what's Geelong's last two games like in the run home, Doug?
Well, Geelong, well, they've got West Coast and Adelaide.
Collingwood and Adelaide.
Oh, sorry, Collingwood and Adelaide, right, sorry. Yeah. Adelaide have got West Coast and Geelong.
And right. North have the Bulldogs and Richmond.
Bulldogs and Richmond. Wow. It is not going settled. To be, yeah. No, it's not settled by a long way.
A lot of the smart people are suggesting that Dangerfield and Henderson will find their way to the Cattery. What does that mean for Stevie Motlop?
Well, he was sensational last night. In fact, his past 6 weeks have been just about the best of his career. I think he had 33 possessions last night. That was an equal career best. And he adds the polish, the sizzle, the speed, whatever you want to call it, probably that Geelong midfield band doesn't have. And I spoke to the Cats this week about his contract, and they have said, and this is, you trust them on their word, this, they said that he has told the club that he wants to stay. It's just now an issue between the footy club, Stephen Hocking and Stephen Wells, and his manager, Alex McDonald. And that's where they talk turkey and terms and figures. Now, I think it'll be a three-year deal. He'll stay at Geelong. But there's a bit of argy-bargy to go on the money. And if someone comes over the top, we think Richmond and North Melbourne are interested, with a really big deal, a $600,000 deal, then the Cats just can't match that.
If the Cats get Dangerfield and keep Motlop, they all of a sudden go back amongst teams that can give it a shake, especially if Duncan has full years and Caddy and these guys.
Stanley.
Yeah, Stanley back into that side. Then all of a sudden they look dangerous again. But if they get Dangerfield and lose Motlop, I still think they're right on that. They're teetering on the edge, as good as Dangerfield is.
If you're the list manager and I was your assistant, although I'd probably be we would go priority. Let's do our priority list for that footy club. I would go Dangerfield, Motlop.
Absolutely.
And then gap to Henderson.
But absolute priorities.
Yes. Selwood is the other one. Scott from West Coast, who they would seem very much in the... I've got him way down in terms of Motlop.
Well, Henderson's the one that we're talking about. Rivers going to retire, so do they have a little bit of a gap in that defence? Lonergan's only got it probably a year to go, so all of a sudden that starts to be a weaker area. But Clark's the one that we haven't seen, obviously, for the Cats. So I'm sure, you know, him back in that side, then, you know, do they really need Henderson? They certainly do need another key forward and a key defender at some point over this draft.
We did see the return of Nathan Vardy last night, which was a good sign, Gaz.
Yeah,
big boy.
Massive raps on him. If he can get his body right, then that is a... And you throw Stanley into that mix with Blitz halves. I don't know. I think North Melbourne are the players for Motlop. That's my feel. They see Daniel Wells as someone who is, you know, if he gets up, then that's good and well, but they need a replacement for him, and Motlop is that player. And I reckon they're the ones having the massive crack.
How quickly we forget. Stanley at St Kilda were saying he's probably not in our top five favourite players. Gaz, he goes to Geelong, he plays probably three good games, and now we're banking on Stanley.
I'd bank on Vardy more than Stanley.
Well, Stanley, I think what we've done now, what we've identified now with him at Geelong, is we've identified his position. He's a ruckman. He's not a forward. He's a ruckman that can float forward every now and then. Yeah. But that's his position.
So on Henderson, Geelong are pick 10, and the trade argy-bargy is all about to begin. Is pick 10 fair currency for Lachie Henderson?
I wouldn't.
No. That's so Geelong's second round pick, you possibly.
It's a weak draft, apparently.
Yeah.
So a weak draft. Henderson, off the back of what he's done, but be fair to say that he's probably been stewing over this decision that he's had to make. Form hasn't been good. Hasn't played decent footy for a while, Gaz. 10 might be a real fair swap.
Oh, if you can get 10, I'm saying take
it. Oh, you're
I'm
saying take it.
If you're Geelong, you wouldn't. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd be throwing up 10 for him.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Maybe you're right about the draft, and maybe that might be an extenuating circumstance. But Cole Jasny's a player who's come on the past month. He's going to... he's a deceptively tall kid. He looks like he's going to be there for a long time. So, yeah, I don't think it's... it's not the end of the world if Geelong don't make the finals. That's for sure.
TAC around the grounds. Fremantle Kangaroos, second term underway.
It's just started, Schwada. Still 24 points. Fremantle looking to shore up a top spot. Your Kangaroos just under the pump here, so we'll see what Brad Scott does.
Ooh, they'd be a nervous lot. They drop this, and the Bulldogs coming back on... I'm assuming it's at Etihad, is it, that game? Mm-hmm. That's a deck where they're just a nightmare to play. And then who they got the last one? The Tigers.
Oh, Richmond.
Oh, my Lord.
For the record, Jay-Z, I'm back on the Swans bandwagon.
Finding some nice rhythm with Duck, I am. Not sure what Spud's thinking about this. I feel like... I feel like one of those blokes has taken out another girl duck. left your main girl on a Saturday just enough to, I'll just see what happens. And I'll tell you, is there some chemistry?
The Bombers went down to the Gold Coast Suns by 2 points yesterday. It was a big week for the Bombers. They said goodbye to James Hird. Matty Egan stepped into the hot chair and he joins us right now. Welcome, Matty.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Not bad. How was the experience? First time driving the bus?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I'm usually just watching one end, watching their back. So, it's a really good experience to sort of collaborate with the whole coaching group and listen to what everyone says and try to watch the whole ground. I found myself kept drifting back and watching matchups down back. But, it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Matty, Jay Clark here from the Herald Sun. I reckon congratulations on last night. For me, there are a lot of positive signs for Essendon. You said you wanted to inject a lot more fun, excitement, enjoyment into the group. Aside from taking him out for a game of 10-pin bowls on Friday night, what were the cues? What did you do to sort of help lighten the load on the players coming into last night's game?
Yeah, there's a few things, Clarkie. One was just to have some fun pre-training Thursday. We've got a funny man down there, Nick O'Brien, one of our young fellas who can entertain the crowd for a fair while. So we got him to fire everyone up pre-training. We simplified the game plan a little bit, which means they're not thinking about too much during the game. And we found that, when things aren't going well, they can just keep going back to the basics rather than think about structure and too much. Just freed up their minds a little bit. Friday was pretty normal. So it's just finding little things in training. We did a goal kicking comp after, which Lordy runs, and it's a bit of fun. So just a few little triggers here and there.
Matty, obviously have a little bit of an interest in Sean McKernan being a mate of his brother. He played his best game for the club, showed a little bit of confidence in him. He had a tough week a few weeks ago against Todd Goldstein, came back in and really showed that he can play at the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely wrapped for Sean because he copped a fair pacing, I reckon, after that North Melbourne game when Goldstein does that to a fair few ruckmen, doesn't he? He's an outstanding ruckman. So it was really good for Sean just to go back to the VFL and get some really good form and confidence and belief in himself again. And when he come back, his first quarter was okay. I think we're down clearances, centre bounce clearances 7-1, and he's probably starting to get a little bit nervous. So it was a great sign for him that he could fight back and finish off and play really well. His clearance work was good. His follow-up's excellent and just his ball use. There was even one he out-nudged Zach Smith and wheeled and go and hit Courtney Dempsey on the lead. So to have a ruckman do that for us is excellent.
Matty, it was a tumultuous week for the footy club, obviously. Going to ask, how did you find out that you were the man to be interim coach? Was it Xavier or Hurdy himself who said that you've got the reins? And how did you take that?
Yeah, it was Tuesday morning. Hurdy spoke to me. So I think he'd spoke to the club and obviously a fair bit had gone on, whenever it was. And he said, would I take over and would I do it? And I was a bit shocked. So I had to think about it. And, I wanted to make sure it was the right thing for the club. I was happy just to play my part. And if they wanted me to do it, I would step up and do it. Found out Tuesday morning and, before training, and then it was, quick few meetings with the club and Xavier and make sure everyone was on board and happy with it. And, it went from there. So it was pretty long day Tuesday. It's a pretty ruthless industry. I've spoken about that Tuesday, you're dealing with things like that. And Wednesday, I'm at the club planning the game for Gold Coast. You sort of have to move on and start planning.
Matty, grey hairs today. More, you woke up this morning, got in the mirror and thought, who's that?
I'm pretty lucky. I'm already bald and I've already got a lot of grey hairs, so I can't get much worse, I don't think, yet.
Well, is this your aspiration? I mean, your playing career was tragically cut short because of your issues with your feet, and you've been thrown into this at a young age, so you've got really good years under your belt for someone so young, but is this sort of the end goal? Do you want to be a senior AFL coach?
Yeah, being at Essendon for 3 years, it's been been tough, Gaz, but...
The best thing about that is, mate, there ain't anything that's going to be thrown at you from this point forward that can be any tougher.
Yeah, exactly, and playing career, I learned a lot about myself, and now dealing with what we've been through, I've learned a lot about people, and I've learned how to read people probably better than I ever have and ever would have anywhere else. So Look, I've got a real care for working with players and improving players, and that's probably always been my focus. And I've never really thought about being a head coach until now. Obviously, I was thinking, long term maybe. So yeah, it's definitely getting me thinking about it. I still think I've still got a fair bit to learn, and hopefully Essendon, get a great coach, whoever that is, and I can learn off someone and keep improving.
Matty, obviously a big couple of weeks for the club in terms of how you finish off the year, but clearly looking at next year and how to build this list, a lot of rumours and innuendo around Jakey Carlisle. Any truth in the rumour that he stood up in front of the group and apologised for how he's gone about things wants to make amends over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, he did talk in front of the group, but it was really an apology that a story like that come out, because I was obviously reported, he said some things about the club which weren't true. He's an emotional man, and you've seen it over the years. He lets his frustration get the better of him sometimes, and there's no doubt he's yelled and said things, not against the club, but just in frustration. And I mentioned it today to another station, but I used to sit on the bench at Geelong, and I used to get yelled at constantly by players because they're so emotional and they're competitive, and they get frustrated with things during the game, and that's why they're so good, because they're so competitive. So Jakey's been absolutely super around the club. So I'm not sure what he's doing, and it's obviously a tough situation to be at with what the club's going through, and it's a big decision for a young man to make. So. It's tough, but his actions have been super, Duck. He's been really engaged, really easy to coach. From my point of view, I've been working with him for the last 4 weeks, and he seems really engaged with the group, so it's hard to know.
Matty, last one from me. Have you been in touch with Hurdy this morning or last night? Did he text you, talk to you? Any words of advice or a pat on the back this morning? Have you had any feedback from the former coach?
Yeah, not today. I think he coaches his young fellas team on a Sunday usually, so I usually talk to him Sunday night after games and things like that. But he's been a massive support of mine, and I have said that without him giving me the responsibility that he gave me this year, I wouldn't be probably in the position I was to take over. He gave me a lot of the training and planning, and he's probably one that just had a lot of belief in me. So I'm sure I'll talk to him, tomorrow or something like that.
You did catch up with him throughout the week. I mean, was it Tuesday night or Wednesday night? You had a barbecue together or something like that. What was the mood like, after he just got the sack effectively?
Yeah, I caught up with him Tuesday night with just some staff. And, it was good. It was just his close mates, I guess. And Moody's obviously still pretty disappointed and things like that. But I haven't had a good chat to him since then. He's obviously disappointed, and I'm sure it's a hard situation to be in when you're at a club that you love, and he's got so many great relationships with so many people at Essendon, not just players but staff, and he's got obviously family connection with his grandfather, and he's probably the biggest Essendon person of all time. So I'm sure he's struggling not being able to come into the club and talk to people that he obviously loves.
Matty, we appreciate you coming on. You've got two big games against the Pies and the Tigers for the rest of the season. Good luck with that.
Thanks for having me, guys. See you.
Good on you, Matty. And a lot of love for Matty on the Twitter. He just says, give him the job, this man. Well, I've just lost it. But he said, give him the job, just got a gut feeling. This is from T1NK. Given the job, the Dons don't know what it is. Something tells me he's the right man for the job. I think by his own admission, he said he wanted to keep learning for a few more years, but it's in pretty good hands, I reckon.
Yep, great comment about yours, Gaz, that it can't get any more tougher than what they've gone through for the last 3 or 4 years. So well done to Matty Egan for fronting up. Bombers went down by 2.
Gary Lyon on a Sunday with JZ Clark. And, mate, we're going to have to do some heavy lifting because the other two here, let me just paint the picture for everyone. I looked up on the TV and I saw the... What is it? 1996 grand final replay has just come on.
I've just hit Luffy.
North Melbourne versus Sydney. And I tell you, Duck and Soy Mocha Schwatter put their headphone down. They're just watching themselves. Nodding to each other going, oh, I remember that one. Yeah, yeah.
You know why, Gats? Because I've never watched a replay. So I just thought I'll have a little bit of a look.
Well, you're watching it now. I'm telling you.
There's Dunkley. He wasn't very good that time.
Tell you what, his boy's going to be good too, Josh.
Duncan. I've heard his youngest son is going very well.
And so they got
I hope they kick it a little bit better than their old man.
They do. TSC around the grounds just quickly, please, Jay-Z.
Well, little champ Boomer Harvey's just kicked his third goal, dragging the Roods within 11 points of the Dockers. 4 minutes left in the second quarter, Schwatter.
Not sure whether you were listening to the Saturday Rub yesterday, boys, but they're very uncomfortable in here. The chairman put his chairman's hat on and went after the journalist who'd been calling for North Melbourne to re-sign Brent Harvey. And it had been very frosty. And then JB just in the end said, right, let's get it out on the table. I told you this would happen. I told you this. I told you. Harvey had signed. It was peachy. I said, Tarrant wouldn't go anywhere. This. What of that's not true, Damo. And then Damo just fired back at him. And, oh, it was Spud and I had to get up and leave. It got very, very uncomfortable.
So the Dockers in North Melbourne in a close one. Time now for this.
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shit.
Here we fire some serious and not so serious questions. What's that about?
Well, I was doing a little bit of a special yesterday on Caitlin Jenner, who used to be formerly known as Bruce Jenner.
I've been watching that.
And we're just talking about... And the missus...
I am Kate.
The missus is asleep and I've just been watching it late at night instead.
It's a bit uncomfortable.
It is.
But confronting.
It is. And so yesterday I did a little bit of a Duck TV and I was talking about the Kardashians and we got on to Kanye and I noticed that it's just... pretty much Wayne with a K in front of it. So I said, start calling me Wanya. And it got a lot of love on Twitter. So I happened to go to a function last night and all the young blokes there came up. No, I didn't. You don't think much of it, Gaz. You forget about what you say sometimes.
Yes, you do.
On the airwaves.
You
and then
do.
You walk into a function and you've got 50 young boys saying, Wanya.
Wanya, you went.
Exactly.
Got a farm update?
Farm update.
BT wanted that one.
Actually, well, I'll say the father-in-law, we're not married yet, but we are engaged. Went up yesterday, and he's doing a bit of work up there. Swatter,
what are you going to run on?
Well, I'm going to have Black a chat
Angus?
To BT.
I wouldn't be talking.
We'll run a little bit of BT. It's just now that he's not here, he just tries to rip you off.
Don't talk to BT about anything.
Just wants to rip you in any way he can.
I tell you what, you can talk to him about. The last time he tried to put a cow down,
that ended in his paw.
Yeah, no, he put one down. He thought. And came back the next day to pull it out of the dam, and it was in.
Well, that's not. Well, that's not very good.
I'm not speaking out of school because I think he's told that on air before. But, didn't quite get the right spot. Pretty sure he's gone with that.
Hey, where should a young man go to get a good suit for a club function or the races? Duck, we're not far away from spring racing. This is what we're doing. We're duck shit. We pepper him with questions.
Where should you go?
Yeah. Well, any sort of question.
Anything.
Well, I would go to Aquila, to be honest. Mm. You know, Aquila makes suits now. They obviously make the nice shoes that we all often get to wear, Gaz. But they actually make really good quality suits. So that's where
and they're launching their big spring summer range. Or there's a big Aquila on Wednesday night, I reckon, which it would be good to go to.
Joe used to always look at. Obviously, he's handed it over now. But, yes, I'll be popping into Aquila.
You guys will be sorted for the spring carnival. Then the James Hird duck. Will he be welcomed back into footy? Would he come back to clubland, do you think?
I'll tell you what I do know from personal experience, and that is not only is the football public, but Australians, full stop, are very forgiving people. And I think that James, in his humbleness the other day and the emotion that he showed, I think once he lets go of the anger, and obviously there's still a few things to be played out, court cases, I think he's almost got to let those go, Gaz. Yeah. And I think he'll be accepted back in as the champion that he has been for that Essendon Footy Club. You know what I loved? I love the emotion of him saying how much that club has meant to him. And he clearly didn't, go out to hurt anyone in this whole drama. And I actually felt a little bit sad for him, to be honest.
Would have been good had he done it 2 years ago.
Yeah, I listened to, I watch your show straight after Talking Footy on Monday nights at 7:30 live on 7, mate. I actually tune in to Footy Classified straight away, 9:30, because I want to know what all the big dogs are talking about.
If Hawthorn have to travel twice to Perth, can they win the flag?
Oh, tough, Gaz.
That's a good duck shoot.
Very,
question.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just read it straight off the sheet.
Very. Oh. Sounds like me on a Saturday morning talking about car racing. That'd be tough. Even the great Hawthorn might struggle to do that, to be honest.
How many weeks, Luke Hodge, if any?
One maximum, but if he gets the one, apparently that gets uploaded because he's already missed three. I just think nothing to do with the post. He did choose to bump. It went high, but you know what's in his favour? Simple facts, and this is what the MRP are doing. Get up, Wingard kicks two goals. Wingard's probably the match winner. Didn't hurt him. So from that point of view, if you look at precedents, which we've seen over the last couple of weeks, if Cooney gets one and a bloke goes off the ground knocked out, then Hodge has got to get off.
Nathan Buckley out of contract the end of next season, Duck. Would you re-sign him before March next year to give him some clean air?
No. You do not re-sign coaches before their tenure. And this is what happens. You re-sign Buckley before then, and then what, they have another poor year and you go, oh, why'd we re-sign him? You let them get to a point where you say, okay, off his whole piece of work, which is the last 5 years, Gaz, you say, you know what, this is what he's done, this is what he's rebuilt, this is where we're at. Yes, let's give him another 3 years. We like what he's done.
100% with you in that. I'm in that camp as well. Hey, who wins the Bachelor?
Who wins the Bachelor? Mm. I actually not really across it.
You're going to get onto it.
He could eat an apple through a tennis racket.
Yeah, he's got big chomps. Yeah, he's got a good set of chomps. But it's getting down the nitty gritty. I tell you what, Duck.
Is it?
Yeah. I've if you have been slow to embrace it, there's still a chance to get in now because they narrowed it down to six or seven, but there's a couple of intruders coming in this Monday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Actually, I'll have to tune in.
That's good. You like a sweater?
Is that on tonight?
It's on in the week.
I got a Heather $1.30. Gaz, what do you think?
Yeah, I know, but she's not my pick. they have developed some rapport, but I don't.
I'm glad you watch it because the greatest of all time, Lee Matthews.
He watches The Bachelor.
Last year, we're down on the boundary and we're having a little bit of a chat, and we've got our mics on, and he didn't know. So everyone in the truck clearly can hear what we're saying. And I said to Lethal, and Richo and I are having a chat about The Bachelor, and Lee rolls over and sort of says, oh, what are you talking about, The Bachelor? Did you watch The Bachelor, Lee? And he said, oh, the missus actually gets me to watch a little bit. So the greatest of all time, Lee Matthews, watches The
addictive.
Bachelor.
It gets you in.
You, Scotty Pendlebury, you're walking to the Lex of the Westpac Centre tomorrow morning, the Holden Centre it is now. What do you say to the group?
Scotty Pendlebury?
Yeah.
I think he'll try and explain what he was saying, but at the end of the day, like I said, I just think he was being honest. Does he have anything to say? I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a story that can be blown up into a story by the media, if you like, but it won't. It'll fizzle pretty quickly because of who he is and because of we suspect we know what he was meaning.
You would have thought a 91-point loss is a big enough story
as
it is.
I think there's other things to worry about for them. Pack, love it, Deb Cannon. She wants a bit of poor. I'm not using me best stuff on Sunday. and also, I've got a late, can you have a late duck shoot?
Yeah.
And this is from the Pack, of course. Wants to know, Duck, this is from Pickles, who's one of the real good Pack members.
Yep.
Who wins The Voice, he wants to know. Adrian Pickles.
I'm not across The Voice
you
as
were
much.
A voice man.
I'll tell you what has happened to my life, Gaz. I've had a little baby and
bad luck.
All of a sudden you know, a couple of these TV shows what are on the back burner and The Voice happens to be one of them. So not across it. So
I like the guitar playing bloke Pickle. And I know Nathan, I think his name is, a young fella. Do you watch it?
No.
You don't watch The Voice?
No.
Nine Network.
No, it's very good.
Goody watches it.
Yeah, I bet he does. Yep. He's going to join us right now as we welcome Mickey Roberts for the first time. No, it's not. It's Simon Goodwin live. Goody, welcome to you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Opportunity to see a couple of kids who have dominated conversations about the rising star, Cripps and also Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, they're both incredible players, I guess. A little bit different, obviously, but, you know, we can only really comment on Jesse, but he's been outstanding, and I think the Duck might be up there, and I don't think I've seen a better key forward at his age do what he's doing, except for probably the Duck.
And Duck agrees with that. He's just nodding his head here going, yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Goody. Hey, Goody, I have to ask you, because we've heard of Paul Roos, haven't heard much of you. How have you seen the Demons year? Where have the Demons improved in your mind?
Yeah, look, I think what we have developed is a more of a competitive team. You take out last week, for instance, and we've actually had a side that's actually competed most weeks and actually troubled a lot of teams. So we are teaching them the fundamentals of the game in terms of the contest and defence, and we're slowly working on our ball movement, and that's going to come, and that might take 12 to 18 months to really start to ingrain in the way we play. But we are becoming a more rounded team. We're becoming a more... a team that's got more depth and talent on our playing list. So it does take time, and you know, we've won six games up from four. four, and hopefully we can get a couple more in the last couple of weeks.
And the wins have been of a greater quality this year, Goody, yes, the ones from last year. I mean, Richmond and the Dogs and Collingwood and Geelong. But I guess then you measure that up against last week, where just sitting back, and I'm sure it would have been the same in the box, you're just sort of shaking your head in terms of the competitiveness early. I mean, when's that going to be leave this group?
Well, we get as frustrated as what you would, Gaz, in terms of the competitiveness. You sit up there last week and you shake your head, you just go, this isn't us, this isn't what we've produced for the last 20 weeks. And now we sort of just have to get away from it and move on. And this is a really important day for us as a footy club, because we don't want to have performances like that. We can't waste weeks. And even though there's only 3 weeks to go in the season, we need as a footy club to keep earning respect of the footy community. And we lost a lot last week.
Hey, Goody, there's also been a lot of talk about when you will take over the reins. We know that Roosie's there again next year, but can you see yourself having more of a key role next year, and I guess sort of blending that in a little bit earlier than, you know, just having a cut-off point at the end of next year?
Yeah, look, we've spoken in depth about how that looks over the next 12 months. You know, we got through this period already, and, you know, there will be an increased level of stuff done on game day. There will be an increase in training and reviewing. And Roosie's really open to that. He wants that to happen, and you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Goody, also read during the week that Roosie's open to the idea of staying on beyond the end of next year. If the club came to you, would you like to see him stay on in some sort of official capacity?
Well, I think, you know, when you've got a quality person like Paul Roos, there's plenty of roles that you can have him within your footy club, and we'd be mad not to sit down with Paul and try and keep him involved in some way. He's really conscious that the team and the club will need some clear air post his year, but we want him around as well. We think he's done a terrific job for the club, and he's, you know, set the foundation, and he's very passionate about where we go.
Hey, Goody, I tell you what I have loved. I've loved the fact that last year Melbourne, when they got a few goals kicked against them, they went defensive, they got numbers back, and it was a really ugly game. But even against the Kangaroos, when you got off to a bad start, you came back, you won the second and third quarters. Okay, you lost the game, but you're still prepared to take the game on. Is that what we're going to see again today?
Yeah, we certainly are, Dart. We're going to take the game on, and we want to be a team that really is proactive today and takes the game to the opposition. So it is something that we haven't seen a lot of in Melbourne, is our ability to come back. But you go back to the Queen's Birthday, where we came down from 5 goals down, and you know, the Kangaroos game, where we got off to a horrendous start, we probably should have been in front at three-quarter time. So there are some positive signs in that regard.
And a late change too for Carlton today. It's Levi Casbolt, the big forward, out with a knee injury. Matty Watson, I think, in for the first game of his season. The two subs at David Allard and Alex Neil Bullen. Goody, we've been talking a lot about Jesse Hogan this year, but for mine, the season of Jack Viney has probably been underrated. He's a headstrong young man who often goes to the opposition's best players, as we've seen in games this season. As I understand it, you've got a really close relationship with him. Can you tell us just how much you've sort of nurtured him, blossomed him? What did you add to his game or his mindset from the start of this season?
Yeah, look, we have got a great relationship. You know, Todd coached me in Adelaide, and I've sort of seen Jack grow up. So when I got to the club, I'd already formed a relationship with him. So what we have been able to do with Jack, and full credit to Jack, is we've started off using his man as a starting point, but we've added some running patterns to him around the ground, which is now getting him in some really good positions to win the ball. So he's going to be an incredible player. You know, when we had him out of the team for 4 or 5 weeks, we probably a 3-goal lesser team with his grunt around the ball. So to have him playing the way he's playing, he's going to be a big asset for us moving forward.
Is it true, Goody, that at training you have to go up to him and say, now listen, Jack, we're at training, you're against your teammates, just take it easy, we don't need anyone to get hurt?
Yeah, no, I do. I just say to him, those red and blue jumpers, they're our teammates.
He's had that his whole life. He hadn't got told that when he's in the under-10s.
I know.
Goody, just an old Demon supporter, you talk about ball movement. Can we just try and get that handball going, you know, not to the bloke standing still with his back to the footy and two blokes around him, just maybe some forward movement?
Absolutely, Gaz. We want to bring the ball through the corridor, and we want to get our backs to join in. And, you know, we've put the asset on our backs to really join in and link up through the middle of the ground with some handball. And, you know, we're going to demand it from them. And if we don't see it, we'll keep moving the team around until we get people that can do it.
Hey, Goody, do you go to the draft table again this year, considering you've bolstered the list in recent years with some quality first-round picks, or do you look to trade in some experience?
I think we use all forms, but we certainly won't be taking our eye off the draft. That's going to be the backbone of us building a really strong list and hopefully one day a real competitive finals team. So we won't take our eye off the draft, but we'll look at all forms to make our list better. And we've made 22 list changes in the last 2 years, and know, we'll probably make another 7 or 8 or even more this year.
Hey, Goody, when Tuesday Night Football comes on Fox, do you sit in one of those powerhouse Adelaide Victories is on? Do you sit and watch your own games like these three blokes do, or do you sort of change the channel? Do you know, how many minutes do you watch yourself for?
Oh, I actually caught a game the other week and I had the blonde tips and I thought, what was I thinking?
Hey, Goody, a big game today. We wish you well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Goody. Never watch my own games. I can't remember the last time. Ever.
What was that?
Do you watch your own games?
No.
Ever.
No, but what I find
you
funny...
You walk into my house, Gaz. I don't know about... haven't been to your house lately. You probably would love an invite, but anyway. you would not know that I played a game of footy. Right. There is nothing there. There is no memorabilia. Yep. There's nothing. Yep. On the other hand, a good mate of mine, Corey McKernan, you walk into his place, there's actually a fridge that actually plays highlights, the 99 game. Just while you're grabbing a can of soft drink. Anyway, everyone's different.
They are different.
Hey, boys, we're going to see one of the really impressive young marquee forwards in Jesse Hogan today. I was interested, before we got on air today, that you two guys were having a conversation about perhaps the changing nature of the top teams and the marquee forwards, Gaz and Duck, with regards to perhaps having one but having an artillery of support players around that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I mean, we watched yesterday Collingwood went with Cloke, Reed and Moore. And, you know, they had all those inside 50s and couldn't capitalise. And I was just having a look at the top eight sides, if you like, and it would appear that it's less of the two keys, like the two traditional Kerry McKernan-style set-up or, Dunstall, Brereton, whatever you want to call it. And it seems more and more there's one big and three mid-size and then two smalls. I mean, and Hawthorn have been the template. Roughhead as the man, and of course they'll use, you know, either McAvoy or Hale.
And Gunston's.
But
that
then
sort
it's Gunston Bruce, yeah. You know, that size. Yep. Then I watched Richmond here yesterday. It was Vickery the big, and I don't put Jack in that category. Revolt, Delidio, Lloyd with it, and you look at the Bulldogs, the boom side, Redpath, Stringer,
Crammery,
Dixon, Crammery. You know, it's one.
I think that's the evolution of our game, though, because Stringer and Crammery are 192, 190 centimetres respectively. Yeah. So they are big guys, but they're not those monsters that you're talking about. Sydney have probably, obviously, Tippett kicking 5 on the weekend. Well done to Tippett. I've been a little bit of a critic
without Buddy,
exactly right. But you know, Tippett, Buddy, Rewald, Vickery. You don't put Rewald in that. West Coast are the interesting one. They've got Kennedy, Darling, and they also have Natanui up there at times
as well. When you're
playing
against Jack Darling, I rate him highly.
So do I.
You talk to clubs when they plan to play on him, you don't play similar size on him. He's not a contested mark animal. You play medium size that can run. So whilst he's 6'5", he plays 6'2", if you know what I mean.
And Kennedy's actually the opposite of that. Yep. You're right. If you look through the best forwards in the game right now, and we had this conversation the other night, and it's coming time, Swatter, all Australian teams are picked. If you look through, Kennedy's a lock for full forward, so that's it. But then if you look through there, you really struggle. You know, Jeremy Cameron, he's had a pretty good year. Yep. You would say Tex Walker has had a good year, but he's been
had
up and down a little bit. Cloak, clearly not a fantastic year. Petrie, but you go through him. Rewalt, I think, has had a very... He could almost be the centre-half forward of the All-Australian team.
Well, he's almost played half forward, hasn't he?
Yep, but then you go through and you look at the... And the argument is, who has been the best small forward in the game? You've got Wingard, Cyril, then you've got Betts, Bruce, Leclerc and Walters, all guys that have had fantastic years, not only kicking goals, but obviously goal assists. Arguably, four of those guys could get into the All-Australian side this year, which would be remarkable.
It's a much different look about it. And conversely, you go then to defensive groups and you go, it used to be you had to have the great fullback Silvani, and then you had to have a great centre-half back because everyone had a great centre-half forward. Now, the Bulldogs, again, are getting away with Talia and Hamling. As they're too. Now, they've got great support acts around them in Wood and Murphy and those sorts of blokes, but it is a bit of a reflection again on how sides structure up.
Can the Hawks go with Lake and Frawley?
Well, I don't know about Duck, but at the end of that game last Friday night, it was a question that legitimately has to be asked.
The question for me with the Hawks, and this is why they've been so good, and Alistair Clarkson's one of the best coaches in the competition, he keeps them on edge. I think there's three of them. I think Lake, Spanger... and Frawley, They won't play all three of those. Spanger's, I think, got a hamstring at the moment, but he will be in the mix again once the finals come about. So one of those guys will miss out of that three.
I reckon Spanger's different to those. I think Frawley and Lake are almost in the
identical.
Same boat.
But what I'm saying is I don't think you'll see all three of those in the team at one time.
So I think it'll be, if Spanger was fit, for instance, or Litherland is the other bloke who can play tall, small. And so Spanger, Litherland, one of. Lake Frawley may be one of. And again, it'll be dependent on who they come up against. And I mean, James played a fantastic game with Buddy at the MCG a couple of weeks back and got the job done. But they don't give you a massive amount of run and creativity. So it is, for everything that we've gone through this year, these next 2 weeks are intriguing in so many different ways. For ladder position, for finals, you know, who gets in, who doesn't. But also for the makeup of teams inside it once we get there.
Yep.
Looking forward to this afternoon's game, West Coast versus the Bulldogs, massive for top four. You look at the Eagles' half-back line, it's Wellingham, Allison, Rosa is their centre-half-backs, and they've got Bunnell, Hearn, Shepherd. The tallest bloke there is probably 191 centimetres. So if you're the Dogs, do you bring in, as a late change, say, a Tommy Boyd to try and to make something of that height advantage, or do you just back in Redpath and Cramery and the smalls, as you said?
Pretty brave to throw Tommy Boyd. I don't know what the weather's like over there, but to throw Boyd and Redpath into that group, given how successful they've been with just the one.
They will be the two that flip-flop, Gaz. If Redpath, he's on edge. If he doesn't perform, Boyd comes in and or vice versa.
Big week, boys. We had James Hird resigning from the Bombers. We had a $2.5 billion broadcast right announcement 6 years from the AFL. And then on Thursday, Lachie Henderson decided to tell his football club that he didn't want to continue on there, and they've severed ties pretty much effectively. And we've got the man from the Blues, the footy manager there, Andrew McKay, to come and have a chat about today's game, but also, I guess, the events of what happened on Thursday. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks, Wayne.
How did it all play out?
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, obviously the media have bandied around a bit, but it was actually quite amicable between Lachie and myself on Tuesday, and he obviously said that he wanted to be traded at the end of the year. So we discussed it in depth and thought the best thing for the footy club, certainly, and probably for him, is that he would not play for the rest of the year. The situation we find ourselves in is that he wants to be traded, and we want to get the best possible trade done. We're not going to get that best possible trade done if he ends up injuring himself, either at senior level or even Northern Blues level. So we're very apprehensive about letting him play. There's also that component of it that, you know, if he doesn't want to play for the navy blue jumper in 2016, we should afford that to someone else that does want to play for the rest of the year.
Would have that changed, though, if the Blues were going into a final series?
It's a really interesting question. It may well have. I probably can't answer it completely, Wayne. But certainly, I think, you know, because we spoke to the Players Association, the AFL, obviously before it got announced, and they're a little uneasy about it setting a precedent. But I said, you know, the thing is, you need to really judge every case on its all the circumstances around it. So I don't know that we're going to be setting a hard precedent on it. So hard to tell, to be honest.
And that's interesting because a guy like Paddy Dangerfield, he's thriving with in the late part of the season, despite the sort of drama around his contract. Yet Lachie Henderson strikes me as a guy who hasn't, you know, he's suffered throughout this season. Was that your read of it?
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. I even said to his manager before the start of the year that we needed to get something done before the season started because Lachie's a thinker. He's a smart guy, Lachie, but he certainly thinks about his footy a lot. And I thought it might be a real distraction for him leading into the season. And really, his form's been poor, and I put that down to him really thinking about the decision either way all year.
Amaka, that it all sounds amicable, and I'm glad that's the case. Johnny Barker didn't sort of give that exact impression. He was a bit more either you're in the camp or outside the camp, and when you're not, you're gone. It was a bit more brutal from him.
Yeah, certainly. Well, he's the senior coach, Gaz, of course. So, you know, there a lot of people inside are a bit more brutal about it. I've got to be a bit more measured, of course. But there's a big part of it that says to us inside Carlton is if you don't want to play for us next year, well, we shouldn't let you play now.
So do you think are we ever going to get to that stage now? No, we're going to be not mature enough, but progressive enough, for want of a better word, where we can have discussion during a season with a player. Let's just say, for example, it is Jeremy Howe, who's playing out here. I don't know if he's staying or going for Melbourne, but he said, look, I want to explore my opportunities and I won't be here next year. we ever get to the stage where clubs will go, okay, well, we respect that and you continue to play and all those sorts of things?
It's an interesting question because certainly it happens in rugby league, doesn't it? It can happen from 18 months out, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah. I'm not sure I would like it as an
observer. I don't know that I'd like it as a player either. Okay, if you're the player that is tossing up whether to come or go, but certainly teammates, most of you guys in this room have played footy before. Sorry, Jay.
That's South Barwon under 16s, though.
at the highest level, of course. And there's an uneasiness, I suppose, when you're running out on field with a player that you know is not going to be there the next year, that it wants to go to another club. And you know, it's a mindset thing because obviously Rugby League have come to terms with it and they know. And so it's a matter of getting everyone's, all the players' mind around that.
As opposed to an uneasiness of playing with a bloke who's lying. You know what I mean? And that sounds brutal. But
they don't know that for sure, though, do they?
Well, if they'd had made up their mind, we're encouraging them not to come forward.
Absolutely. It's a tricky situation, Gaz. And that's why, you know, around the table on Tuesday with Lachie and myself, he understood he wanted to do the right thing by us. He totally understood that the two reasons why we didn't want to play and was happy to go along that path.
So given all of that, what would you prefer as a footy manager? What would you prefer? Would you prefer have told him now or telling you now or wait until the end of the year and tell you then?
I like honesty.
So you prefer that he's done it now?
Yeah.
Was he relieved on Tuesday that he had that conversation and he had arrived at that outcome?
I think internally he probably was. It was a little bit scary for him because he wanted to go and speak to the playing group and then obviously there's going to be some repercussions, media and public and all that sort of thing. But I'm sure it's a weight off his shoulders.
The Blues now set the agenda on what the trade currency is and you're going to back that in over the trade period. What is Lachie Henderson worth? The first round pick, are you settled in that sense?
6 first round picks.
But that's going to be the debate now.
A fit one.
Is that fair currency? Is that a fair asking price?
Oh, absolutely. And some, I reckon. Lachie's a very good player and it's unfortunate that he has had an average season form-wise, but as I explained before, I think he had a fair bit on his mind all season that really affected his game. He's a very good player when he's up and about. So, we're expecting a fair bit for Lachie.
Chris Yaron, the other one, reports that he has met and sat down with Richmond officials.
Tigerland.
Apparently. I'm just reading that in the paper right. But I'm not aware of that, Gaz, I have to admit.
I am.
He's... I'll take you for your word. But certainly Chris is contracted for next year. Again, if unfortunately, if it plays out the end of the season that he would like to go, well, then we'll be looking for a very, very good draft pick for him as well.
And I'm not here to put you on the spot. I mean, this is evolution of the game that we're grappling with because on the one hand, you want your honesty, which is your preference, but then on the other hand, you've got a player who's contracted who is actively engaged in conversation with another club, and therefore, if you want honesty, you'd be going to Chris saying, honestly, what are you doing? And he's saying, well, I'm thinking of going. And then you're two down. So it's not for you to solve, but it's part of the problem with the whole competition.
Yeah, it's probably a competition thing. But Chris is a little bit different too because he's got a year to run his contract.
Right, control,
so it is a little bit different.
It is one of those things, though, Gaz, that unfortunately clubs, and I'm obviously a player's man over a club man because we all played the game, but now you're involved at that level, so it's different. But you know, you get Jed Adcock at Brisbane, 100%. And he gets the same week, gets told, bang, you're out, and no one says anything because that's a club doing it to the player.
Yeah,
it's just it's out of whack for me.
I agree 100%.
You've watched Johnny Barker at close quarters. How have you seen him as the interim coach?
Yeah, John's done a really good job. I think there's been a number of people internally that have been pleasantly surprised with what John's done. So, been under very difficult circumstances, of course. There's been a fair bit going on at Carlton in the last couple of months, but he's doing a really good job. Unfortunately, not getting the results, but I will say this, that he's not being judged on those results. It's about the way he goes about it.
Is it right you're looking to make an appointment or make an announcement by the end of the week, Macca? I think going back, that was the original timeline.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. Certainly, we're looking to do that. We're confident we'll be able to get that in before the end of the week.
How'd the Danny Nong Stingrays go on the weekend?
I think they went okay, didn't they?
How did the boy Wietering play?
Not sure about that.
No, Macca. You're damn sure how he went. Jacob Wietering, 6'4", 6'5".
Yep.
Gee, you'd be happy to even come into your footy club, as you would Shacky.
Over Shacky?
Yep. Mm. Oh, that's a personal preference thing. I mean, you'd be happy with either. Always, I liken it a bit to Roughhead Franklin, you know.
Really? So which way would you go, Macca?
Yeah, it's a good question. Both boys are going to be very, very good players. One plays at... they play at either end of the ground, of course. So probably Weddering would be ready to play earlier than Shacky, but I think they'll actually develop into a similar quality player. So it depends whether you want to go forward or back.
Just on the coaching race, is it right? Is it narrowed down to two now? Is it Bolton and Barker? Are these the ones the boys have settled on?
Well, all will be revealed at the end of the week on who it'll be. I mean, we had really, really good candidates. I'll take my hat off to all the guys that we spoke to. They're really professional. And speaking to our Egon Zender man, David Campbell, who sat on the coaching committee, who's really impressed with the way these boys think and the way they conduct themselves, the way they present. It was his job to get under the bonnet, so to speak, and really get to know these guys and how they do think. Because in an interview scenario, as you all know, the person being interviewed is just telling the interviewee what they want to hear. And the difficult part is to actually, you know, cull the good ones from the not as good ones. So it's he did a fantastic job of really getting to know those people, and we think we'll come up with the best possible coach for Carlton.
Did everyone's laptops work?
They did.
Hey, Levi Casbolt laid out?
Yeah, unfortunately Levi didn't come up. He we trained yesterday, and he got through training but pulled up sore after training, which was really unfortunate. We thought he'd be up, come up for sure. We gave it till this morning to really work out whether he was going to come up. There's still a little bit of swelling in that knee this morning, so we pulled him.
Cripps, Hogan, Nab.
No, question, I don't think, is it? No question. The midfield rather than the full four.
Juddy will do a lap of honour too, I think, just before the opening bounce today.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. It's a really good chance for all the Carlton supporters. And you know what? The Melbourne crowd as well to pay tribute.
He barracked for Melbourne growing up.
Yeah,
Macca.
That's right. He changed his tune pretty quickly. Though, didn't but a really good farewell for Chris. Obviously, a great of the game. And people talk about greats of the game, and that's probably bandied around a bit, and also the word champion, but he fits those two words absolutely perfectly. So full credit to Chris. You know, I just thank him for the job he's done at Carlton over the last number of years. He's done a fantastic job. Great role model for everyone inside the club and certainly outside the club.
Mac, a last one from me. David Butterfield, his future's sort of gone under the radar a bit. He's out of contract. Have there been any discussions with him, what he might be doing, your fitness chief, of course, for next season, or do you wait for your coach?
We'll wait for the coach. You jump to conclusions. David is in contract still, so but we'll wait for the coach. We've got a lot of things to sort out once a new coach comes in on board, for sure.
We appreciate you joining us. Good luck today.
Yep. Thanks, gentlemen.
Melbourne boys, we're seeing them. What's your position with regards to the D's moving forward as a great Melbourne man, Gaz?
Well, I'm positive, but it gets shaken every now and then. And well, the question I asked Goody, and this is what Duck, you know, you keep an eye on today, because I obviously watch them every week and closely. So the frustration is I see them play Collingwood and Geelong and win well. And the ball movement is precise and it's forward. And I don't just mean forward handballs, you know, but when they get into trouble, they overuse, they handball the blokes under pressure with back to the goal, and sides that bring real genuine heat turn the footy over. So I really like Simon Gordon. I think he's going to be a terrific coach, and I'm a massive fan of Roosie, obviously, but I just have been frustrated at times when they get themselves into so much trouble by overusing the ball. And when you've got a bloke called Jesse Hogan playing inside 50, one-on-one, who's as good as we've seen for a long time, kick it to him.
It's a good point you make, because a couple of weeks ago, I watched a Sydney-Collingwood game. Sydney did exactly the same thing, Gaz. Yep. And they've been a great side, just giving it to guys that are flat-footed, under as much pressure as they are. Yeah. And Melbourne, you're right, when they're playing poorly, that's exactly what they do. I totally agree. Petrarca's the one that Simon Goodwin said to me just after he did his knee. Yeah. I sort of asked him, what sort of kid is he? And Goody said, he's never seen a kid do the things that this kid does on the track ever before. Remembering that Simon Goodwin played with Ricciuto, McLeod and Edwards and a few others. So, big rap. He's going to make a huge difference next year.
He is. And look, it's subtleties. Vandenberg not playing, and the kid Sam Frost, is, I think, going to be a player. So those guys missing. And the other one they really love is Kent, who's a medium-sized, one of those blokes we've talked about, who's raw but got untapped potential.
What about McDonald's brother? Apparently bigger
Oscar,
than Tom.
Yeah, bigger. So Tommy was a bit of a slow burn and then came on. So, look, there's lots to like about it, but, I mean, they've got to tidy up a lot of things, and they've got to get better kicks, particularly out of the back half. Some of their deliverers out of the back half, and that's why Salem plays today. He's a really important player. And, you know, I think the development's there, and I can see where they're going. I just get some frustration, like all Melbourne supporters do, when they do muck around and go backwards, sideways, and they end up handing the footy back.
Gaz, how's Chris Dawes travelling? He's been a guy who hasn't attracted a lot of discussion, but for me, probably isn't in the best 15 or 20 of their best and fairest. Recruited on big money. I mean, has he delivered to this football club to the standard they would have wanted?
Well, again, Jay-Z, as someone who watches them every week, I can tell you that Chris Dawes, if he's played 60 games for Melbourne, I don't know how many he's played, 50 of them he would have been 2-on-1 every game.
Yep.
Because Melbourne get behind the count, so they go throw one behind the footy, and therefore Chris Dawes competes so much. He hasn't had a great year, hasn't had a great career at Melbourne, but he tries hard and works hard. And you're not worth the money, but that was the reality of where they were at in that situation. And look, the fact is, he's going to have to work really hard to maintain a spot next year in their best 22, you know, if they get these players up and going. So, workhorse, hands are not great, but can kick a goal.
I actually beg the differ, and I guess the games I've seen him play, Jay-Z, I actually like Dawes. He's got a good tank. Mm. And you're right, when he's playing well, he's marking the ball well, he's clunking them, he's timing his run well. When he's not, he can run under the footy a little bit, yeah. But I like him, and I actually
he's
think,
a tryer.
I think he actually is easily in their best 22, so yeah. That's my opinion.
For me, Melbourne go to market.
What do they do then, Jay-Z? You've got your finger on the pulse. If they go to the trade market, where are they at?
Well, I reckon they're prepared to use their first or second draft pick for a key forward. And that man, for me, and he's still out of contract, is Tom Lynch. So he's played an absolute blinder again last night. He's that
Tom Lynch, which half forward?
Adelaide. So not the Gold Coast one. As you sort of said, that mobile Jack Gunston type. You know, he can push up the ground. He can do all that.
How old's that?
24 or 5,
is he gettable, do you say?
Oh, he is gettable. So he's still out of contract this year. He's knocked back 2-year offers from the Crows. And I think a 3-year offer on good money would be able to get Tom Lynch. And that, for me, might be the missing link in that Melbourne forward line.
I love Tom Lynch, Adelaide Tom. I love both Tom Lynches. I love Adelaide Tom Lynch. He's the sort of player, the modern day, which we've spoken about, and he's the sort of player that they hope that Jack Watts could develop into and hasn't been able to at this stage. And I don't know if that's realistic or not, but he would be a terrific acquisition.
He's a real barometer for Adelaide, isn't he? When he plays well, they win.
Conduit. You know, back yes. forward, that bloke yep. that, and that's where Dawsey plays.
Swing.
Yeah. So I like him. The big positives for Melbourne, and you boys will talk about Carlton, so we're not ignoring them, but I'm shipping off, as Chief would like to say, has been the form of the Ruckman, Big Max Gorn.
Yeah.
And yep. They signed him for 3 years, and yeah.
That game down at the Cats, the Cat game, wasn't it? Thought yep. he was Jonathan Brown for a quarter.
He's got great hands.
He's got good hands. Same sort of thing, guys, when they're timing their run
yep.
well at the footy. When he gets his hand, he marks it.
He's got great hands.
Yeah, just timing.
Incident just in the Etihad Stadium game with Fremantle leading by 13 points late into the third quarter, fellas. We know Nat Fyfe's already had 2 fines for small indiscretion, skirmishes. He's just got Benny Jacobs high then, caught it out of the corner of my eye. Bit of a bump to Jacobs' high.
I had a look at it. I think he's all right. Jacobs was down over the footy, but I don't think he slammed in and made head contact. I reckon he pulled up short. So it hasn't been replayed by the broadcaster at this stage. So whether or not they've declared that it's okay.
Well, Jacobs remonstrated a little bit. That's always a good warning sign as Robbie Nahasler trails in for a goal. Now, that'll be a huge talking point because that would eliminate him from the Brownlow medal race as the raging favourite at the moment. So watch his space on that Nat Fyfe tomorrow, boys.
All right. Final word for me on Melbourne.
Mm.
And I haven't said this all year, I reckon. This is a game they just have to win, otherwise they run the risk of going backwards. And that makes for a very nervous Melbourne supporter. The other wins have been good, and they've come in good times. No one expected them to beat Geelong down there. No one expected them to beat Collingwood. No one expected them to beat the Bulldogs or Richmond. They expected to win this game. And the last time they were expected to win a game was against Essendon, and they lost. So that's why this is a critical day.
All right, just before you do go, Gaz, we have a little segment that our Sunday crew like to hear, and that is tell me something I don't know.
Favorite.
So something that's not on the agenda that you'd like to bring.
BT particularly savage, so we look forward to your support on these.
I'll tell Brian something he might know. The overwhelming Twitter response is that this has been the best Sunday run ever.
Well, that's a very good. I'm going to start off, and I'm going to sort of give myself a little pat on the back. I got an SOS call this morning, Gaz, from a mate of mine. Central Wire up. He takes me snapper fishing. Haven't been up there for a while, but you go out and you get the bigger snapper, best snapper in great white country. And they've won the last four grand finals, the under-12s. And
Where's
Wyala? South Australia. A few hours from South Australia.
Did you go there?
No. They rang me and said, can you have a chat to the boy? So over the phone, speaker, can you have a chat? Very nervous, decided that they were playing Swatter, had beaten them twice during the year. And so
a pre-game over the...
A pre-game over the phone.
Skyped in.
Over, I'll tell you what, when you get asked to do that, they've won four in a row. You're under a little bit of pressure. And they weren't expected to win. It was it started raining.
I'm tipping they've won.
Blustery conditions.
You wouldn't be going with it.
Well, I've just got on good authority. So well done to the Central Wales under-12s. They've won 8-8. To 1-7.
One goal seven.
So they've got up. So well done, Jingles.
Very nice work.
Well done to the young boys that have now won fifth in the row. Just to let you know, part of the speech, I said you never know when you're going to get to play in your next grand final, boys. And, that was just a bit of the speech. But anyway, they got
it. I like it.
JC.
Yes, Daniel Cross playing today in absolutely fine form for a veteran. I can tell you that his wife and he put footballs in their kitchen cupboards, their laundry cupboards, etc. So is it just to keep Daniel Cross on his toes? His wife would grab a pill when he's least expecting it and fire off a handball, and he catches it sort of at random moments before dinner, after dinner. Just something that keeps Daniel, Daniel Cross on edge. So his wife...
It's a good thing BT's not here.
A couple of... Mate, that's a go. Who does that?
That's
fantastic.
A great one. Yep.
Anyway. Gaz?
I gave you mine.
No, yeah.
Best Sunday run.
Best Sunday run.
Okay.
I haven't got any. I didn't really.
We'll just finish off by saying I was in Queensland yesterday, and someone very close to the Brisbane Lions informed me that the current coach at Brisbane, Justin Lepage, refuses to listen to his assistant coaches, and then there's only one man that he listens to at that football club, and that is the director of football.
Who is?
Lethal.
Lee Matthews.
So not a harmonious coaching.
Not a bad bloke.
But no, I would have thought that you're still engaged with your assistant coaches. Well done, Gaz. You've been pretty good.
That's a pleasure.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.